From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message entitled Faith's Final Fervent Word in Prayer, the last in this series in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this sermon clip from the Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Armin Tomassian.
I like that word, saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Some people get offended by that word for some reason. They don't like the word saved. Of course, it implies that you need saving. And that's what they have a problem with. It implies that there's something wrong with the person who's not yet saved. They need saving. They need deliverance. Yes, there is something wrong. Of course, there's something wrong. You don't know God. Your sins are not forgiven. You're not reconciled. You don't have peace between you and God. There is a problem, and you need to be saved. It's a good word. It's a Bible word. Jesus used it. John 3:17, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Saved. Jesus came not to condemn you, sinner, but that you might be saved. He didn't come so that He could just laugh in your face as you travel on your way into hell. He came to offer salvation. He's not mocking you. He's not putting something before you and saying you can't have it. You want to be saved? You can be saved tonight. You can be saved before I finish preaching. You can be saved now. The gift of God, eternal life, it's stretched out to you. Jesus Christ offers you what it is to be, listen, saved. It's a done deal. He cried upon the cross, it is finished, so that He could say, believe in Me and you're saved. It's done. Deliverance is experienced and enjoyed. The Bible over and over again. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. Romans 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Offered now to lost and dying men. Come and drink a
Have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read revival during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved, times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his final message in this series in the Lord's Prayer. He has arrived at the very last word in the Lord's Prayer, Amen. In the opening portion of the message, Dr. Cairn sought to establish the meaning of this word, with which we often thoughtlessly conclude our prayers. Yet there is much to consider in this simple term. Among its many appearances in Scripture, Amen conveys that which is established, fixed, or steady. It expresses the certainty of our faith in God and our fervency in prayer. Indeed, Amen is a title of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will seek to emphasize four things about the force of the word Amen. First of all, in saying Amen, we assert our sincerity in prayer. Now to continue this message, faith's final fervent word in prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
In Jeremiah 28, we have Jeremiah's response to certain false prophets who were contradicting his prophecy of the doom that awaited the disobedient people of Judah. They promised all sorts of peace and prosperity and all the greatness that God was going to give to the nation. The prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. This was not his faith that the Lord would do so. But when they painted a picture of prosperity among the people, he said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied. That was his fervent desire. That text actually gives us the inspired interpretation of the word Amen as a word to denote truth and desire and faith. It means, may the Lord do so. Or literally, let it be or may it be. And that's what makes it such a perfect word at the end of this and any great prayer. Actually, there's a better reason for having it at the end of the prayer than even its meaning. May it be, or so be it, or may the Lord do so. There's a better reason than that, and the New Testament gives us that reason. And it's simply this, that Amen is a personal, glorious title of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3:14, the Lord Jesus spoke unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, and he said, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. These things saith the Amen. Thus the final word of the Lord's Prayer actually invokes the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Amen God incarnate. That's why he so often said in his earthly ministry, Amen, I say unto you. Or in John's Gospel, Amen, Amen, I say unto you. Translated in our authorized version, Verily, or Verily, Verily, I say unto you. He's using his own personal, peculiar title. Reminds me of what is said of God the Father in Hebrews 6:13 when he established his covenant, because he could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, invoking no greater authority than his own, says, Amen, Amen, I say unto you. A mark of his deity. So it is his name that we use in prayer. And in so doing, we employ the very best reason for making this final plea, may the Lord do so, to our Father in heaven. Amen ends the prayer on a high note. It's a note of sincere desire. It's a note of fervent faith. It's a note of hearty dependence upon God, and it's a note of well-grounded assurance. You'll notice that with the addition of the Amen, The Lord Jesus Christ is clearly instructing us that we don't simply peter out in prayer. We don't simply multiply words and then drop off to sleep and get up from our knees when we waken up. That's not the vision of prayer. The amen does not come at the beginning. The beginning of the Lord's Prayer is a tremendous beginning. I'm not going to try to rehash the studies we did in that. But the amen doesn't come there. I think that you could say that while the Lord's Prayer starts in a high note, it keeps on getting higher until we reach the end of the doxology. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. And then the eternal dimension, forever. And then the highest note of all, the amen. This sincere desire, this quickened faith. It's as if the very words that we have been praying have been stirring up our hearts. They've been quickening our desire. They've been setting fire to our whole being, so that now we reach the very pinnacle of the expression of our assurance and our dependence upon our God. This is the last word, the final word in the prayer, having looked at its pedigree and its background, its fundamental meaning. Now we're in a position to give some attention to the force of this word as it comes at the end of the prayer. I want us to think, therefore, today of faith's final fervent word in prayer. When we say amen at the end of our prayer, we do four things. First, we assert our sincerity in prayer. Remember that amen is a word of truth. In fact, I did not try, for the sake of time, to do a detailed study of the etymology of the word. But related nouns are translated throughout the Old Testament, truth. Amen is a word of truth. I've indicated already in the New Testament it is translated verily or truly or of a truth. When we use the word amen, we are giving a solemn assertion of the truth of what we say. When Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you," he was simply saying, "I solemnly assure you," or "I tell you in all truth." It's the meaning of "verily I say unto you." So when we come to God and we say the words of this prayer and then we say amen, we are stressing to God the solemn truth of what we have said. We are stressing the solemn truth of every word we have uttered. We are crying to our Father and saying, "Father, I pray this in all truth. I pray this in all sincerity. I pray this with all solemnity." This is not just a matter of words. This is the honest, sincere expression of my heart. This amen is therefore a word of wholeheartedness. It is a denial of coldness. It is the antithesis of mere formality. When we say amen to our prayer, we are calling God to witness that this is no empty or thoughtless ritual. that we are not merely going over the well-worn path of trite words, that we are not merely saying what we can say with our brain in the parked position, but that from the depths of our being we are uttering wholeheartedly with truth and sincerity what we really mean. When in Revelation 5, 13 and 14 we read of the mighty cry of blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever, and we read that the four living creatures said, Amen. We can gather something of the intensity, something of the involvement, something of the fiery, burning, blazing, wholehearted love and sincerity that this word connotes. Amen. It asserts our sincerity in prayer. In asserting that sincerity, it is stating its assent and its agreement. It states our agreement with what we're saying. Remember, the words of the Lord's Prayer are a pattern upon which we should pattern all our praying, but they are also the very words that we should use. Jesus also told his disciples, when ye pray, say, and he gave them the words. When we say these words, we are stating our personal agreement. We are giving our personal total commitment to what we say. That's true, for example, also when someone else is praying in public and you say amen to it. The amen takes the words that others use and makes them our own. We have the biblical command, indeed, to do this, at least the example. In 1 Corinthians 14:16, Paul was arguing with the Corinthian Christians that they should pray in an understandable language. Else, when thou shalt bless with thy spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? It's very interesting that in this text, Amen, in the Greek, is actually the Amen. It's the very same phrase as in Revelation 3:14, I am the Amen. How shall they say the Amen? And the definite article has the force then of the well-known, the expected response. How are they going sincerely to invoke the name of the Savior? How are they sincerely going to commit their whole heart in agreement before God with what you're praying if they don't know what you're praying or can't understand? That's Paul's argument. But see that that argument would mean nothing unless this is how we're expected to pray. We're expected to have the Amen supporting our prayer. In other words, when we pray, listen, if 1 Corinthians 14 means anything, and it means a whole lot, mind you, if it means anything, it means that the place of prayer is the last place in the world we should be playing with words. The place of prayer is the last place in the world we should simply be making a noise. There must be the praying with the understanding. There must be the praying with the heart. There must be the totality of a wholehearted sincerity. We're dealing with the God of truth. We're employing the very terminology that invites the God of truth to see that we are speaking truth. Therefore, when we pray, our praying must be honest, sincere, and true in its commitment.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.